All right, so hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Just Our Look podcast. Today I am here with my friend, my LS, my fellow media junkie and critic, Leanne.
Hi!
And today we'll be getting into Leanne's journey. You know, what does she want to do? Where is she right now? How's that going? You know, random stuff, but the stuff that's apparently important because, you know, having bills and paying them in, you know, 2+ years or now, whatever. Who knows? So to get started, we're first going to hop into the news corner. Today, on February the 3rd, the Golden Globe nominations came out. Leanne, what are your thoughts?
Oh my gosh. It's so bad.
I agree.
And I have seen things about how, like, the people who vote for the Golden Globes are different from the people who are voting for the Emmys or the Oscars, but what kind of different are they? Because this is just ridiculous.
Right, like how many different Hollywood executive television film people are out there that they have a different pool?
Right.
What the heck?
I just, like, it's just so frustrating because this happens all the time where you'll see, you know, black art that just is so amazing and it's so buzzy all year. Everyone's talking about it when it comes out. It gets praised by the critics. It's everything. And then it's one thing for black art to not get nominated, but then to nominate mediocre to bad white art in its place.
I agree.
It's such a slap in the face. Like, that pisses me off. Like,
you can curse, don't worry. But no, I mean, I'll say it, you know, Emily in Paris.
Say it.
It wasn't something to watch during quarantine when my mom was already going nuts. Sure. Would I willingly do it again? Probably not.
No.
And then to think about every other good show in its place, like for comedy at least, huh? Insecure?
Right.
Issa Rae?
Right. I didn't even watch it. I refuse to now. But, like, before, I just would never watch it because I knew I would not, like, I mean, not saying that I've never hate watched anything or watched stuff that's so bad it's good. Definitely love my Riverdale or whatever, but.
Oh, God. But imagine, like, Riverdale being nominated for anything other than, like, a Teen Choice Award.
Right. Then we know that these people just gave up, and then we just really need to just give up, too. But, yeah, it's just like, oh, what's the thought process behind it? Like, I want someone to sit down right in front of me and explain to me why that got nominated. What drew you to Emily in Paris or this other, what is it called, music that I read? No one's even watched yet. It's the movie Sia directed.
Oh, yes.
And it's controversial because I think they said that, yeah, like the lead is playing autistic, but she's not really autistic.
Right. I want to say the lead is Maddie Ziegler.
Oh, yes, yes.
However you say her last name, but which I get, like, you already have a working relationship with, but if you're going to tell a story about autism, why not pick someone who can relate?
Right. Like, there's definitely autistic actors right out there.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just on top of that, like, people are just saying, you know, it has not been presented at any film festivals. No one's seen it. There's not really any critics, any reviews out there of it because, you know, it hasn't been out there. So how is it getting nominated for awards?
I really...
Just based off of controversy. I don't get it.
I feel like maybe it, you know, there has to be secret payoffs, back doors, but then everybody would be doing it. So then also probably not. But, like, what are we all not watching the same thing on television?
Well, I know a big part of it is because it's a bunch of old white guys, so they don't really know what's going on.
Very true. But old white men were watching Emily in Paris.
But that's also true. That's also true. Yeah. Actually, maybe not. But maybe it's just a bunch of young kids then. It's not making sense. It's not adding up. And I'm over it.
Maybe because Euphoria came out in, was that 2019. So they wouldn't have gotten nominated this year, I guess? Question mark?
Yeah, they would have gotten nominated last year.
Okay, okay. So I'll reframe my statement.
But they still didn't get nominated. Got nominated for Emmys. And that's another one people are talking about, Zendaya not getting nominated for Malcolm and Marie. I'm so excited for that.
Me too. Oh, 2 days.
Oh my god.
The clip I saw this morning.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I swear. After this movie, I don't want to hear nothing about Zendaya's a grown woman, question mark? Nothing.
Yeah.
She's, I love it.
And she did it so perfectly. Like, everyone should do, just, you know, the whole, okay, I'm a Disney Channel star, mm-hmm. and I want people to take me seriously, so I'm gonna, you know, act all grown, but they always act grown by just doing the most and just, you know, throwing their boobs in our face. And I'm like, that's not how you show you're grown. You show you're grown by just putting your talent first and putting controversy out the back door, and that's exactly what Zendaya did.
I agree.
And that's why she's a respectable actress, and then when you compare her to
Zendaya, if you count the Disney side, yes, like, TV shows stacked, but like, in theory, up until like last year, 2 years ago, definitely before Euphoria, she wasn't in like as many projects.
True.
But you were knowing her face because her looks on the red carpet,
right?
Were giving, she's kind of queen. I'm not a teenage girl anymore.
Yeah, she's becoming a little clean.
But then,
and I actually... Oh, no, you go. You
no,
go.
I was just going to say, but then you look at, you know, people like Miley Cyrus, whose transition from teen pop star to adult star was...
messy.
Very...
messy.
Extreme end. Right.
Messy. She's messy.
Which,
for no reason.
The point was made. The point was made.
Was it the...
But were the think pieces... necessary, you know? Could you not have just, did you need to get on the wrecking ball with no pants on?
All right,
food for thought. But listen,
yeah,
you do what you gotta do, girl.
I guess. Yeah, sure. But yeah, I actually was just watching an interview with Zendaya the other day, mm-hmm. and she's talking about how she also feels like she just hasn't been able to do a lot, and she really was trying to do more. And, you know, after filming Euphoria season 2, she was probably going to, like, really kick into gear. But,
right.
of course, everything closed down.
Right.
But, I don't know. After the pandemic, whatever it is, it should be exciting to see where her career goes.
For sure. Definitely Zendaya stan club over here.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, if this gets... I feel like Malcolm and Marie, maybe not getting in the Oscar 2020 noms, but...
No, it's not, like, being the best reviewed. I think if people are saying, like, the individual acting is good, but the movie as a whole is not, like, A1, but it's not terrible either. Like, it's kind of mediocre as a whole is what I've been hearing.
But then we see Marriage Story.
Which I hated, personally. But I also love, and I love this kind of movie because I
yes.
love seeing the movies Blue Valentine
mm-hmm.
and Revolutionary Road. But those are two of my favorites, and they're about, like, marriages just falling apart.
Yeah,
and the two people just fighting the whole time.
I love movies like that where it's like, I mean, yes, there is a plot, but it's like,
yeah.
no specific action-based climax, just
yeah.
vibes. And it's just, like,
just vibes.
So, like, I understood the purpose of Marriage Story, but at the same time, I was just like, okay, so an actor and a director, like, get married, and then they have a kid, and they live in New York, and then they're like, wow, I hate you. Like,
that's, yeah, that's it? I don't know what it was about that movie, of all movies, that I didn't like either, but yeah, I think that was it for me too. Like, I didn't quite understand why mm-hmm. they hated each other. Like, what happened?
And I am biased because Scarlett Johansson literally is in, like, every living freaking project in Hollywood, which, go get your bag, girl. But at the same time, like,
I know,
no one else,
like,
came to mind.
Right, yeah.
No one.
You could say no to a couple things, girl. You're
you, like, you're good. You're in the Marvel universe, or
right.
was. You know?
Oh.
You're
spoiler alert.
Whoops. I mean, listening came out 9 years ago. They'll figure it out eventually. But, so, in conclusion, we're going to take over Hollywood one day and really just change the scene because I'm so tired.
Yes.
But moving on. So as my first guest, Leanne, I will be introducing three rapid fire questions just so listeners can get a vibe. Nothing deep, nothing crazy, but you know, will we get a little peek into like your life's desires? I don't know, maybe. First question.
Oh my gosh.
No context either. Entrepreneur or corporate America?
Corporate America.
College or real world experience?
College.
And suburbs or urban life?
Urban life.
All right, solid. So, you know, these things are very important. Who are we talking to?
You learn a lot about a person.
Exactly. Personally, I don't foresee myself living, you know, green grass all sprawled around me in trees.
Yeah, no thanks. After having to shovel this snow, I would never do this again if I had the choice.
Like,
it's not worth
it. For what?
It's not worth it.
You know, in theory, the snow will melt, but also in theory, you do need to leave your house. So how?
Yeah.
What are we doing about that?
Exactly. Unfortunately.
All right. See, the few moments. I'm like, where's a man? Do something.
This is a man's job. I will cook dinner if he just shovels my car out.
Just like, this one time, I will sacrifice my womanist ways for you to do something I don't want to do.
Right.
And then we'll never speak on it again.
And then we'll go back to equality.
Period. Tell us about yourself. You know, who are you? Where'd you come from? What do you want to do? How do we know each other?
Oh my gosh, how do we know each other? Okay, so we're both recent graduates of Seton Hall. I'm sure you said that in your first episode. So we met I'm not sure what happened to my one sweet mate at the time, but she mysteriously disappeared.
Oops.
And suddenly we turn and there's a Kimani key and we're like, what's that? What's a Kimani key? But yeah, you moved into our suite and we became friends and it was such a good time. You're like so cool to me. You're in this big friend group that I was trying to infiltrate the whole time.
Friend groups are very important.
Yes. And yeah, so that's how we met. In terms of who I am, geez, I don't even know, to be honest with you. So,
and that's life's greatest mysteries. Who are we?
Like, who are we? What are we doing? What's this whole life thing's about? So I was just at Seton Hall. I graduated as a public relations major and a visual and sound media minor. Or like another way of saying that is like television film. I honestly prefer to say television film minor. And who am I right now? Well, my LinkedIn headline says that, my LinkedIn headline says that I'm a content creator and a PR professional. Yes.
A little That's sprinkle of, it. You know, real world and what you're about to be doing.
Yeah, in the beginning I had PR professional and content creator, so I had PR first because that's what I was doing and that's what my major is and that's where all my work experience is. But I was like, you know, like I don't know if this is really who I am anymore. So I recently believe I just made the switch. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I think I did. And I think I just did it in my email too, my signature, made the switch to content creator first and PR professional second so that I can really put first like who I am and right. Who I want to be.
And one can call it manifesting.
Yes, yes.
Putting it out there, you're going to get it back.
I'm big into that. I super believe in manifestation.
Exactly. Who are you to tell me I'm not a content creator?
Right.
In theory, we're all creating content. It's just in what kind of way
Right.
Specifically for you, the artistic way.
Yeah. And also, I just see a lot of things about, you know, you should never say I'm an aspiring this. You should always say what you are mm-hmm. just right away. Because, like, one, you've probably, like you said, you know, you probably have done the work. You have created the content somehow. And two, you know, it's a part of manifestation. You say you are and then you are.
Right. So you went to school, undergrad, with your, yeah. your major and your minor. Yeah. And your minor seems to be what you're more passionate about in life.
Yeah.
Content creator. So did you have like a moment, like, were you sitting in class and you were like, if I write one more press release, I'm going to lose my effing mind? Or were you just like, you know, this, like, one writing class isn't the worst thing I've ever taken. Like, what was that moment of, like, yeah, this isn't it, chief?
I would definitely say it was, like, a one, oh, moment. Because I was a PR major and a television and film minor, I was obviously taking more PR classes. Mm-hmm. And the few television and film classes I was taking, my first 3 years of college were all, I guess I would call it like history/theory classes. So,
oh.
you know, like I was starting off. No, they were fun, actually. Oh, okay. I really did love them. But, you know, you were just learning. You weren't doing anything. So, like, my first class was Electronic Age of America, and that was just about, you know, the history of television in America. Mm. And then the next class was a theory class, so we were learning about, like, lighting and different camera shots and yada yada. Mm-hmm. And then I took a few media studies classes, so that's well. And then in the meanwhile, I was taking all of my big PR classes, learning about, like you said, press releases and pitches and all that typical stuff. But it wasn't until my senior year that I took my first application class, where like I took my first television production class. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in those classes, the TV production classes and the film production classes, those are the classes where we're actually doing projects. We're in a studio. We're dealing with equipment. Like, we're learning about how to use a camera, how to set up lighting, how to build a set, how to do different cuts in the editing room and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And those are things that, you know, I feel like I always was super interested in on the outside. But, mm-hmm. like, I've never actually done any of that stuff before. So. Right. It was definitely being in that class senior year that was my lightning bolt moment of like, oh my gosh, like, this is what I want to do. Like, I loved being in that studio. I just loved everything about it. You know, I had a lot of fun being behind the camera, doing like camera work. Mm-hmm. Directing is like a lot of, I always had a panic attack every time I directed,
but your, you know, vision. What do you
yeah,
mean?
You do walk away from it like, oh yeah, cool. Like I got that cool shot that I saw in that movie that I always wanted to do, but I always got a panic attack doing it. But then I also loved being in front of the camera too, because in our class, the first semester I was in, Studio Production 1. And in that class, our professor, he has a script written out already. It's kind of like a morning talk show type mm-hmm. thing, morning news show called Pirate TV. And what we do is every class we alternate positions. So mm-hmm. one class, you're camera one, the next class, you're camera two, next class, you're teleprompter, next class, you're audio. And then the next class, you're one of the anchors on camera. And so, like, being on camera, I had just as much fun on camera as I did off camera. So it was just, like, overall, like, I really love doing this. And then also being able to write, like, that's how I wrote my first kind of script mm-hmm. through that class. And that was my first time doing it. I never even thought about script writing before, even though I always have been a pretty good writer.
Yeah.
You know, as a whole. I never thought about script writing before until then. And I was like, oh, snap. Like, right. I like this, too. Like, it's just, you know.
It literally took me maybe, like, 4 years ago watching the Oscars. And every time, like, they're like, best screenwriter. I'm like, what the F is a screenwriter? I don't get it.
Yeah.
And then, my favorite, I mean, shout out to, like, the editors at the Oscars. But, like, as the movie scene is playing, you see the words coming on screen as if, like, the screenwriter's typing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh!
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, like, and you always see that and you're like, oh, that's so cool, and I do love the words that the characters are saying, but, like, I never fully processed, like, that was an actual job, and that's, you know, something I could do or even would want to do, you know? And, yeah. But then also, once I had that realization, comparing it to my experience with PR, it was kind of like, am I good at PR? Because, like, you know, I would say, like, not saying I was amazing in my production classes, but I was pretty darn good, like, especially in front of the camera, because I think I was in class with a bunch of people who had behind the camera aspirations, so it made me look even better than I probably really was, because everybody else was kind of, like, stiff, like, you're I just want to direct, man. Yeah. Yeah. But, like, I remember just, like, getting so much, you know, not praise, but, like, you know, like, just, like, yeah, like, my professor really egged me on, like, yeah, you did a great job, like, great job, Leanne.
The validation. And then even,
yeah, validation. And even in other classes, just, like, writing, you know, papers, essays and stuff, like, I always got complimented on my writing for my essays. Always, always, always. No matter what the class was. English, you know, a media studies class, art history class, always. And then I was comparing that to, like, anytime I was in a PR class, like,
you're like, wow. I'm like, yeah, no, I agree. Because also having a minor in, like, an arts I've mentioned my first episode, graphic design and advertising, like, yes. The energy I felt walking into a graphic design class, given, like, I am mediocre at best on pencil, but, like, put some type in front of me, give me some colors, like, I can make it work, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, the energy I felt walking into my class of 10 kids versus a business class, freaking, like, microeconomics, I'm sorry. Oh, God. I don't care about supply and demand. I don't care how the grass move. I don't want to be here. I'm here because it's a prereq. And
I don't even know what economics is.
Exactly.
I really don't.
Like, I emailed my one marketing professor that I thoroughly enjoyed. His name is Gary Kritz. Everybody has varying opinions about him.
That's so funny. Just emailed my professor today.
He, like, I was emailing him, I think, senior year, and I was like, I literally, like, don't want to do market research. Like, where's the media stuff? I don't understand why we don't have media classes. And the only thing he could recommend me was print advertising. Meanwhile, I work in a media agency now, and, like, the print team is literally, like, 2 to 3 people.
Right, and, in 2020.
Like, girl, unless you're freaking Vogue, Elle, whoever, like, not even. What is going on here? No. But no, yeah, I can definitely agree about that moment where you're like, wow, I significantly like this one thing more than I like anything else I'm doing.
Yeah, it's like liking it more and also just being better at it. Like, it was not that. Like, when comparing my experiences in my classes and in my internship, like, I remember even senior year in my freaking senior thesis class. What do you call it? Senior sem. I'm, like, pitching my idea for my senior thesis that I thought was so brilliant and groundbreaking. And I'm like, this is going to be the most amazing thesis ever. Like, she's not ready. Like, she's not even going to be able to, like, take it. Like, her mind's going to explode. And I'm talking to her about it, and I write it down and everything. Sorry. I lost my earphones. And then, like, she's, you know, looking back at me and, you know, looking at back at my paper and everything, and she's just not getting it. And I'm like, is it me? Or is it her? And honestly, I don't think it was a dumb idea, but I think it was a mix of both. Like, you know, I don't think it was the best concept, and it's just not what she was looking for. And I'm like, and she's an older white woman, and PR is honestly mostly older white women. So it's like, if she's not seeing my vision, am I really going to last here?
Right.
Whereas, you know, I'm talking to my, you know, media professor about my ideas, and he's an older white man. So if anything, that's even more removed.
Right.
From me and my vision than a white woman. At least, you know, we're both women. We can relate on that level at least. But, you know, a white man, an older white man from the Midwest, like, you know, you wouldn't think that he'd be able to see what I'm saying. But I'm, you know, talking to him about my script ideas, about you know, black people, young black people from New York and this and that. He's like, yeah, he's really feeling it. And he's giving me constructive advice and everything like that. And he's liking what I'm saying and what I'm doing. And, you know, we're working on projects together. And it's like, okay, you know, I think that this is the validation. Like, this is, you know, a sign, mm-hmm. you know, that you should follow what, you know, your talents are. And I don't want to be stuck doing something out of just like convenience.
Right. Yeah, because you know, that's how every adult movie, TV show, even in real life, that's how you see right. like, someone hates their life. They're like, wow, I should have done the thing that like made me happy. Or like, I should have done something not just for the comfort of like, well, it's a job I have and I can do it sort of well. So I'm just going to keep going on this train. Like, that is so unstimulating.
I can't do that. I cannot do that. And especially, I
mean, maybe yeah. like we're both air signs. So
I never remember what sign I am. I'm an air sign.
Yes, Gemini is an air sign.
Geminis are air.
I mean, in general, we're very much just like free people, whatever. But
yeah,
you could not tell me that I had to do one thing for the rest of my life. I would lose yeah. my mind. Lose it.
Yes, that is another great thing about like the creative field is that, although I will say that I feel like some people get a little too carried away. And like when you see all these models trying to be actresses, I'm like, not all of you guys are made to do this. Every, so like, let's take a break.
Influencer wants to have their own beauty line.
Yeah. And it's like, you're not even in these labs, you know, working on the material or ingredients, maybe.
Right.
You know, get a grip. Just because you're cute doesn't mean that you can just get into any field you want. That's not fair. Because there are genuine people who can, I mean, people who are genuinely talented and knowledgeable at this. But yeah, anyways. But besides that, the creative field is great, though, because you can just jump into anything. And like, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm one of those people who just can be really mediocre at a lot of things instead of like really, really great at one thing.
Yeah.
Which is like, whatever. But it just means that I need to do a lot of different things to be stimulated. And, you know, I love the creative field because I can already just see myself doing all these different things. And I know I'm capable of doing them because I have kind of done them already.
It's just getting your foot in the door.
Exactly.
Who's going to let me in?
Which is the $1 million question.
Right. Like, so then so on the topic of who's going to let you in, you've already said that you're working in PR right now.
Yeah.
You know, doing something for the resume, but not your yeah. spirit per se.
Right.
So how did you get here? We're in February. We graduated in May, you know.
Yeah.
Did you, you know, strut out the door on May 15th, you know, the job, as everybody wants you to do in life? Yeah. Please tell us your journey here.
My journey from May 15th to February 3rd. It feels like it's been a million years, but it's only been quite a few months.
I know.
So no, I did not graduate with a freaking job.
Tweet.
Well, first of all, like, of course we're in a pandemic, mm-hmm. so I would like to throw most of the blame on, oh my gosh, I need to stop playing my ears. I would like to throw most of the blame on that and say that, yes, I would have had a job right. if it wasn't for the pandemic.
For my ego?
I know that I would have.
For my ego, I'm saying the exact same thing. I can't afford to think otherwise. I'll lose my mind.
Right, exactly. But yeah, no, I didn't have a job and it was so frustrating. I mean, my mother says that I started late, and honestly, is she lying? I think she's not lying because I started like January 2020. Yeah.
Absolutely. That is not. Are you?
Well, maybe December 2019.
Personally, I don't see that as being late.
Okay.
and I feel like that's the only comparison because I said on the first episode, like, a lot of our friends are in finance, accounting, big number things that do boring things with Excel sheets, you know, no shade. And right. They'll have a job like October.
Yes. I was just about to say. Yes, that's so true, which is like, yeah, it adds on to the pressure, and that's so true, especially for me, like, being in the communication and arts college, and then all of my friends being in the Stillman Business School,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was especially aware and sensitive, hypersensitive to that, because, and even where I worked in the admissions office, which was mostly, you know, it was a running joke that it was all, like, business leadership kids,
mm-hmm.
and so... Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, having these people on LinkedIn now, they'll be posting, yeah, I'm so happy I to have gotten a job here. And you're so right. They'll get it this summer before their senior year even starts. Even during the pandemic, you would think it would have slowed down a little. I'm like, these people are still getting jobs. Right. These, like, finance and accounting people.
All of my, you know, acquaintances, I'll say, definitely... Like, maybe they got pushed back because of the pandemic, but, like, yeah. I never saw them, like, oh, my God, I don't have a job. I need to apply to something else. If anything, they had a job and was applying to something else to see if it would be more money. And me over here, like, knowing I want to work in media where entry level is, like, dismal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, 70? That's cute. That's really cute, girl.
Right. Can't relate at all. So it does add a lot of pressure to it. So, you know, when I graduated, I was freaking out like crazy, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And then especially because I knew that. And also at that time, I was going through my process of like, oh, do I really want to do PR? Mm-hmm. Not really. But when you look at my resume, that's where all my internships were. You know, I interned PR at NBC and iHeart, mm-hmm. and another company, Arts Unbound. And so, like, I didn't have any television experience, which is what I would really love to do. So I had to, you know, apply more to PR jobs. But at the same time, I saw a tweet where someone was saying, you know what, people, like, just apply for any jobs, whether you feel like you're qualified for it or not, because white guys apply for these jobs and they get them all the time. And I'm like, that is so true. Like, I'm gonna apply to all types of jobs. Like, I was applying to, like, director of diversity and inclusion at VH1.
Could, like, you imagine being an HR and getting that, like, resume flagged and being like, fresh out of college director? Okay, yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah. But I will say, I tried that tactic and it wasn't working for your girl.
It wasn't working. It still isn't. But I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it because why not? I need the wishful thinking.
Right. You also dream a little.
Yeah. So I will say one good thing about the whole moment of, oh my gosh, I don't have a job, was that I was pretty productive during that time. I feel like right after graduate, or I don't know, maybe that time right before graduation and right after, I was pretty productive. So I was working a lot on my media stuff. I would have, like, these random bursts of productivity, mm-hmm. and energy, and I'm like, let me just do something. So, like, I wrote my first pilot during that time, and I was making a few videos during that time that I, like, of course, gave up on because I'm the worst, but I started them. And, you know, and then a couple months in, I, like, you know, I'm applying jobs like I usually am, and I finally get a call back, and it's from this random website called Screen Rant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, a media website and entertainment news website, but mostly, like, Comic-Con type stuff, so, like, a bunch of Marvel and DC and so stuff that I'm not really into, but I'm like, I could kind of, like, you know, BS it and mm-hmm. do my research and stuff. And so I got that job, but it seems like they just hired anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And also I was getting paid like 10 cents an article. Like, it was nothing good at all. After 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
my stuff would come up to like a paycheck of like $75.
Oh, okay. Clicks. Clicks per view.
No, that is not good at all. Not from someone who is not getting paid that.
I mean, but also someone who isn't writing on what, like, the popular content is.
That's, yeah.
You know,
that's,
like, if you really hate Marvel and
DC. I mean, it's not that I was writing about popular content. It just wasn't content that I knew.
Gotcha.
Like, I was writing about, like, Batman and...
Right, so you're just putting words together.
Yeah, I was just putting words together. I had to do so much research before I did every article. Like, I lived on Wikipedia looking up all the Batmans. There's always, like, 50 million movies to one superhero. We do not need these many Batman movies. We do not need these many Spider-Man movies. Yep. I don't care how good they are.
All because they're owned by different freaking companies.
Right, and they just want money.
And that's another thing, another media tangent, but, like, when you're the freaking, like, Marvel comic book world in general, like, because there's so many comics and so many storylines, in theory, like, they can keep going for, like, the rest of Earth's eternity. And you know,
I can't,
I know, you know, for some people who like a dash of original content,
dash.
Like a dash,
right? Like, if you're annoying. Not into action, right, if you're not into superhero, it feels like there's nothing for you until this time of the year comes, award season. But then again, even then, it takes forever because, like, all these movies that we keep hearing about, we don't get to see them until way after the fact. So, like, we're seeing them get nominated for awards, and I'm like, I want to see Minari. I know it's great. I'm cheering it on because POC and everything, but I haven't seen it yet. Right. But anyways, I don't even know how we got into that.
Yeah, so you're working at Screen Rant.
Oh, yeah, so I'm working at Screen Rant. Living on Wikipedia, but, like, I hated it. First of all, I'm not it. One, I don't know if this is a misconception or not, but let me, you know, school you real quick that all writing is not the same at all. And I think that one thing about me is that I was a bit presumptuous when I came into the job because I assumed that because I'm a good writer, that would translate into me being a good journalist. But journalism writing is its own very particular thing, just like script writing is its own thing, just like academic writing for essays is its own thing. So they're all very different forms of writing, and I just was not that great at journalism, and I just hated it. It was so hard, and, like, I wasn't good at editorializing, which you'd think would be the easiest thing, but I'm like, I just hated doing it. And I'm just, one thing I noticed about me, which is not something I'm proud of, because it doesn't help me when I write on all these applications that, like, yeah, I'm adaptable, because, like, if I'm not into something, it's hard for me to really even half-ass it. Like,
oh yeah,
I kind of am a good half-asser, but I don't know, like, I just,
but you'd rather not
want to, I'd rather not, and the work is not as good as it should be, and it's just, like, so blah. So, like,
so when you got Screen Rant, it was because you applied to, like, a job posting?
Yeah, I applied to the job. I mean, to be fair, it didn't say Screen Rant.
Okay.
It said, like, its umbrella company, Valnet, I guess. Gotcha. And it just said, like, entertainment news writer.
Okay.
Movie and TV writer. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know all about movie and TV. I'll apply to that.
Was there, like, an interview process at all?
Not really. Not like a talking one. They just had me write, like, 2 test articles.
Okay. To see that you can put words together.
Yeah.
Gotcha. To see that the bare minimum.
Right, right. So, but you could tell it's the kind of thing that, like, they'll just hire anyone. Like, I think it's all types of people from all over the world. But I hated it so much. And I was just like, I can't do this. And then towards the end of my run, while I was working there, I just so happened to randomly get a call. And it's, like, a random number, and it's not even New Jersey. I think it said, like, Connecticut or something. So I'm like, all right, who the heck is this?
Right.
I pick up, and it's just this guy, and he's like, hey, so, you know, I'm from this recruitment agency, which, you know, you hear that, you're like, okay, sex trafficking?
Are you gonna kidnap me?
No, for real. Like, how did you get my number? I still don't really know how you got my number. But he's saying he's from a recruitment agency, and he said that Audible is looking for a PR coordinator. Temporary, though. I'm on a contract. So I actually end in a month, which is, like, insane. Yeah, and so they're looking for a temporary person for PR, and I was like, oh my gosh, they made me go on so many interviews, Kimani. Like, they made me interview like 5 times. No. I interviewed the whole department. I've never done that before.
Yes, I've only, on the last episode, I brought that up. When I was interviewing for a nonprofit organization, and I think the position was like community outreach, which was pretty much just going on all of their social medias and like responding to comments. Like, that essentially is what the job sounded like. But I literally interviewed with everyone like on the social media team. And I was like, okay, so you guys either like have no time on your hands or like you really like me. Of course they, you know, whatever, didn't hire me.
Yeah.
But whatever, that's fine. I'm not bitter. At the time, I was very bitter because, you know, your girl's trying to get employed, but I digress. Right.
Yeah, I was just like, dang, like, what do you guys want from me? I'm low-key saying the same things in every interview, and I'm like, I assume that you guys are talking to each other about it, like, but finally I got in, thankfully, like, right away, I was like, okay, bye, Screen Grant, and
so the recruiter called, like, are we, like, in the summer now, working our way
into fall? Oh, yeah, I guess I'm doing terrible time range. So we graduated May 15th. May 15th we graduated?
Something like that.
Or May 20th. And then I get hired for Screen Rant, let's say, beginning of July. And then I work for a month. I get like 2 week paychecks, but like, it is what it is. That's just how they roll. I don't think they're like underpaying people. Oh, I should say that, like,
disclaimer.
Like, they're paying people 10 cents an article. Well, I think that it's very clear that this is, you know, it's an independent news website. This isn't like the New York Times or Entertainment Weekly, and it's very obvious that this is the kind of website that people write for, and then they write for like a million other ones, like freelance writers there, you know.
Exactly.
So no one's going to Screen Rant and they're going to pay for their whole life. So yeah, okay. I should say that for people who like listen to this and try to sue. So I started working at Screen Rant. I think I started working in July, and then I started interviewing for Audible in beginning of August because I had like 5 interviews, and then I think my last interview was the beginning of September. And I got hired like first week of September and started the second week of September.
Okay. So once the interviewing was over, it was relatively fast.
No, it was kind of spread out. I think I interviewed like once every 2 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It was not back to back at all. I guess because they had to like go back. Discuss, and then I would say one thing about me, like, my work in PR is questionable, but one thing about me and like being in communications and entertainment is that like I'm a star, like I have charisma at the wazoo, so I'm pretty good in interviews, and I think that like I'm able to just like, yeah. And I think that one thing about interview, if anyone wants some advice, that it's all about, you know, showing off that you know about the company and you know about what the position will need from you while being charismatic, because people want to know that you know your stuff and they want to know that you are pleasant to work with. And I think one thing is I smile too much in interviews, so I do need to work on that. But
why do you think smiling is bad?
I don't think smiling is bad, but I think like sometimes like someone's just like,
that's true, you're like, girl,
you know,
relax.
Teeth at you, like, yeah, like, okay, Leanne, like, I get it, you know, you're like happy to be here, you can relax now,
right? So notes.
But I think that I am, especially for people older than me, like I feel like people my age either love me or hate me, but people older than me usually love me, and I think that helps too.
Listen, as long as you can wing these millennial / Gen X, you're good to go.
Yeah.
For now.
I guess so, yeah. Because we're Gen Z.
Well, I guess.
I forget.
Technically. I'm a Zindi.
Yeah. Oh.
That's my term. I just
Excuse me.
I just don't want to be too heavily associated with Gen Z. You know, like, I know how to freaking work LimeWire if it were to ever come back.
Right. Yo,
LimeWire. I got substance.
I have substance. I used to, you know, pirate music. I used to love LimeWire. That was my everything back in the day.
Me and my
back little, in my iPod shuffle days. It,
my iPod classic. You couldn't tell me anything.
Yes.
Therefore, Centennial.
Mm-hmm. I see a hell of viruses, though. Mm. I love giving my laptop viruses. Like, they just deal with it. You know, I put my computer through stuff because I do a lot of pirate. Well, I shouldn't talk about that.
I mean, shout out to the Macs because the how often I am on a website looking at literally TV shows that shouldn't be on that website. I'm like, okay, let's click out these 5 ads just to get the play button to work.
Yeah, well, I just started being bougie because I figured, why not? Not because I still live at home with my parents. Mm-hmm. So I still, you know, have cable with that my dad pays for. And so sometimes what I do is when I'm trying to watch something on my laptop, because I don't have a cable box in my room, if I have to watch my laptop, I'll just log in using the
network cable provider.
Yeah, the network provider.
When I was still living at home. I hope, you know.
Yeah, right. When I'm
fingers crossed that no one from HBO Max is ever listening to this podcast. However,
I mean, fingers crossed that they do. Hire me first.
Facts. media industry, specifically television and film. You know where to find us. But I was, my mom has HBO Max because shout out to cable.
And yeah, same.
I logged in with it with my laptop at her house. And I have not yet gotten kicked out when I log in on my laptop. Now, I'm not putting it on my Roku TV. I'm not adding an app to anywhere else. I don't want nobody snitching on me. So, me and my little laptop get in the bed.
Oh my gosh, that's one thing I have been giving out my HBO Max info. Oh my gosh, I'm so generous.
It's just something about Verizon Wireless. They know when you're not, when whatever password you're giving them is not yours. It's weird. It's too much.
Stop. You know that's what I have.
So I have a Roku. So like me trying to log on to ABC to watch the freaking news. And it's always like, put in your code. So I'll have my mom, like I'll like send the code to her. And then I'll have her tell me what the code is. And then they're like, sorry, that's not working. I'm like, so you're telling me
no. I'm surprised no one's told me that that hasn't happened to them. I just hope no one calls my dad like, okay, suspicious activity in Randolph and Newark.
Like,
I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know nothing about that.
Can't remember. Like, I don't even know where those places are.
Newark? Where is that? But, so, you're working in PR now. Contract's ending soon.
Of course, in a month.
You are probably getting inundated with questions of, so, Leanne, what's next? Leanne, do you have your next plan?
Yes.
And, I mean, I didn't want to hear those questions when we were graduating college, so I'm so sorry that you have to go through it all over again.
I know. Of course, the first job I get has to be a contracted job. Like, just my luck.
Listen, you got to do what you got to do out here.
Yeah, at least I'm getting paid.
Finesse that resume. That too, as long as I'm getting paid.
Yeah, the money's been nice. I've never been paid so much because I'm so used to minimum wage. I mean, I still get paid hourly.
Mm-hmm.
No need to lie. I do get paid hourly still. But it's not minimum wage. So I've been, I mean, it's still probably less than any of you guys get paid. But
no, I agree.
Whoa.
Because you go from freaking, you know, $11 to a comma, and you're like, excuse me?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with all of this?
A comma in my paychecks, which I've never had before. I always had paychecks in the hundreds, and now I have paychecks in the thousands.
Like, what?
So I'm like,
exactly. And then you're like, okay, so what was my
every desire? But now I need to learn to save.
Ugh, saving.
I've been better, though. I've been a lot better than I used to be. Like, that's have a significant amount in my savings that I've never had before. And so I'm like, okay, growth.
Right. But that's because you have so much money. Because in college, it's like, oh, you should really save your money. But it's like, girl, if I'm not asking my parents for money, like, I'm paying for things myself. So as much as I want to save, I'm probably
I'm going to. It's like crazy.
Because I'm probably going to order Chinese food in 2 days, and I need money in my bank account for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry. Can't save. Yeah. But then you have money to, like, freely do whatever you want. And it's a game changer.
It's a game changer. But it just has me aspiring for my next step. Because, like I said, I still live at home. And when I compare myself to my friends like you, and even just, you know, I was just at my cousin's apartment. I mean, she had to because our parents, you know, retired and were like, we're moving to the south. So she had to. But still, like, she has a big girl job in her big girl house. Like, you know, I really want to make that next step in my life and move out of my parents' house and just, like, get to my place, get my own place. But I'm going to be unemployed in a month, so I need to figure out my job next.
So you're currently preferably applying to things in the entertainment industry?
Yeah, I'm really trying not to apply to, I mean, this is, like, so crazy because, like, of all times to be choosers and not a beggar is, like, this is not the time, but I'm, like, kind of, like, at this point, like,
sweetie,
literally, I'm not reading it at all. I'm blind, but I have to, like, I don't know, something in me just is, like, you know what, just, like, so what? So I'm trying hard not to apply to PR jobs unless it's, like, but, like, I saw a PR job at HBO. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely applying to this.
Right.
So, like, that's the kind of PR job I would get because it's, like, okay, it's still PR, but at least it's at a company that I would want to work for.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can try to, you know, network and move around within. But yeah, I think the best thing for me is assistant jobs, which is, like, so interesting. You know, you graduate college. What do you want to be? I want to be an assistant. But no, I really do want to be an assistant. You wouldn't believe how many people, like, started off as assistants for people, you know?
Right.
Even, you know, watching Girlfriends the other day, like, you watch the end credits and it's a bunch of people who are so big now. You know, Prentice Penny, who's showrunner of Insecure, Lena Waithe, who, like, has a bunch of stuff going on. You know, all these people. Lena Waithe started off as a writer's assistant on Girlfriends. So I really think that that's, like, my path. I think I see myself being an assistant to someone powerful and then just working within that because, you know, I'm just trying to be realistic, you know. I just, you know, I'm still working on my craft. My script is not, my pilot is not 100% by any means. And so, like, you know, the idea of me getting my pilot picked up and making a show tomorrow is not happening. That's just not happening.
You know, it's, maybe not right now.
It's not happening. So I really am trying to be realistic, and I'm not ashamed to say that. Like, I think the most realistic thing for me is to be someone's assistant. You know, I don't have shame in that. That's what my dream is right now, because a lot of people started off that way. But I also have, so yes, I've been applying to a lot of assistant jobs, but I also, you know, have been listening to a lot of people, watching a lot of videos, reading a lot of things, just looking for advice anywhere and everywhere. And a lot of people, especially for this business, like, I was just watching Spike Lee's masterclass the other day, last week. And one thing he said that, you know, this industry is not for introverts, which is, like, you know, no shade.
No, honey, you but need to get that foot in the door somehow.
You need to somehow. And so, like, I find myself, I think, and that's one thing I've really leaned on a lot anyways. It's something I take the most pride in. You know, I walk into a room, I may not be the, you know, smartest in the room. I won't be the smartest. I won't be, like, the best looking in the room. But there are a lot of times where I'll be in the room and I'm like, yeah, I'm one of the boldest people here. Like, I'm not, you know, afraid to draw attention to myself. And I think that this is the time more than ever that I need to lean into that. Especially because, like, you know, the fact that we are in this pandemic is kind of a blessing and a curse because it's like I can't physically be in front of people's faces, but like it does give me the luxury of, you know, being in people's faces while being in the like comfort of my own home.
Right.
So I've been bold and I've just been, you know, cyber stalking people low key, but just messaging. Just the other day, I was you know, on my phone, I saw Bowen Yang from SNL was on live, so I joined his live. And mind you, I'm in my room in the dark, and I'm wearing my bonnet. And I don't know why, but, like, I know he always adds, like, one people to his live, so I just put in that request. Mind you, I never even go on live. Mm-hmm. I just started going on IG Live.
IG Live is so scary to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, like, I still don't get it. So I people's lives. And so, like, I put the request in because I know he always adds some person. I'm a huge fan of Bowen Yang, so I'm like, why not? He's watching 90 Day Fiancé. I'm like, that's perfect because, like, I don't watch the show for real, but my mom is obsessed with it, so I have the knowledge because I have seen a couple episodes. And he freaking chose me. And so I, like, joined the live. I'm still in the dark in my room. I have to run to turn the light on. He's like, oh, my gosh, were you sleeping? And I'm like, no. Like, I was just in bed. And I turn on the light. And I have my bonnet on. So I'm like, in the back of my head, of course, I'm like, oh, my gosh, Liam, like, this is so embarrassing. Why would you go on the celebrities live? You see thousands of people on and you're wearing your bonnet. Like, really? A black woman in a bonnet?
Listen.
And live? But... you know, I like, looking back on it, like, at least I could say I did it. And, like, Obviously I'm not going to get a job out of that. But, and also, like, because I was on his live, the comment section wasn't loading for me, so I couldn't see what people were saying. But Nick saw that I was on the live, and he was saying, like, people were loving you. And I don't know if that's true. He might have just been saying that
because
being a friend.
Not hurt your feelings.
Yeah, they love you, girl.
But when you think about it, it's like, okay, so that one... you know, small thing happened, big to you, but, like, in the grand scheme of life, like, okay, you're on somebody's live.
Exactly.
But how are you gonna imagine whatever happens getting into the room with Bowen Yang to be like, Bowen, I was on your IG live. I was the black woman in the body, you know?
Right.
I'm just saying. Who's
and I already did make that connection because, like, the first thing I said when I went on his live was like, oh my gosh, like, I was interning at NBC and I used to walk past you all the time to go to the bathroom, which is true because the publicity floor and the SNL cast member floor were on the same floor. And I really did. He, like, always was standing right by the women's room. So I was like, and he liked that. And he was engaged with that for a quick moment. So that's so true. And then another thing is, like, you know, I'm all up in LinkedIn now, like, all up in LinkedIn. I have so many pending requests because I've just been trying to connect with so many people.
Everyone, please log into LinkedIn and just accept my request, please.
I'm dying, please. And out of it, I was able to, you know, get set up a meeting with one of the producers of that upcoming movie, Judas and the Black Messiah. So it's like,
amazing.
I'm trying to, like, really lean into just being bold and, like, I keep saying cyber stalking. I shouldn't say that, but, like, you know, just like.
The cool kids want to call it networking. The LinkedIn influencers, you're networking, sweetie.
I'm networking. So, yeah, I've been really trying to be bold and just, like, put myself in people's faces virtually. But I need to build a bigger online presence. Like, I've been thinking about building a website, but it's like, why am I going to put on that?
No, I agree. And that's, I think, what's so fun about calling yourself a content creator. Because in theory, I too am a content creator. It just
means, no, you are.
I don't know why it's so cringy for me to say it. I think in my head, I'm just like, no, I don't have a YouTube channel. And not saying that. Listen, one day I might need to make a YouTube channel just to, like, put the things that I make on it. But,
yeah.
Like, why not start somewhere?
Yeah.
Like, you know, hit me up when you write your first pilot. I will help you shoot it for the funsies.
Yeah, I might have to. I mean, my pilot, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. Like, oh my gosh. I'm on my, like, 100th draft of it. I need the feedback, though. Like... that's another thing. Just because you're a good writer doesn't mean that it's always going to translate into good writing. And it's like, you know, I've done I've done a few other scripts before and they were so great. But, like, writing a pilot episode is such a particular thing. And it's, like, one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And I'm, like, seriously on, like, I mean, I must be on my 30th draft by now, I think.
And not an exaggeration.
But... yeah, but I'm happy. I like doing the creative stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't feel this way when I'm at my job, unfortunately. And
I type on my little computer. on my little, you know, Outlook, looking at my calendar.
Yeah, like, this is not it.
They're like, what do I have to traffic today?
Right.
But yeah, no, I think, and as corny as it is, it's like, trust the process. But like, honestly, at this point, what else are we supposed to do?
Because literally, that's all I've been doing.
Because in theory, also, you know, for my job in media, I got to sit in on a like TikTok for Business summit. And in my head, I was just like, imagine if like the pandemic wasn't a thing. This was in person. The networking opportunity.
Right. You would have met so many people.
My mind, you know? So
that's so annoying.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why we're here, to talk about ideas versus reality, because the reality is very, very real. Unfortunately. But, you know, Leanne, my future writer's assistant / content creator / television writer, because we're manifesting it.
Issa Rae.
Thank you, future Issa Rae. I want to thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh my gosh, is it over?
I mean, you know, we've been, honestly, half of this is definitely us just randomly talking about entertainment.
Yeah.
Who else is going to talk about entertainment with our other friends? Everybody's just like, okay, I don't get it.
Right.
But your perspective is very helpful, very insightful, especially because I think it's so important to, you know, show that, yes, I could be work, you know, in the perfect world, I could be, you know, where I want to be. But right now, I am finishing up a contract as a PR coordinator because I need something for the resume and I need money to move out to become a assistant and TV writer, you know?
Yes.
So the process, unfortunately, is very important. The journey
it
never
is,
ends.
Especially in the creative field. Like, this is quite the process, but it's all about perseverance. And a lot of our heroes had a slow burning journey. So I'm trying not to get discouraged.
Right. This is the stuff that's going to be in our tell-all book in 50 years.
Oh, gosh. In my lifetime movie like Wendy.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine just hanging out in a radio studio? You're enjoying clicking live, talking on the radio about other people's lives. Did Wendy Williams think that she was going to have a singular night of a lifetime movie and documentary?
I know. Like, she really came out of nowhere. And that's a Jersey girl right there.
Exactly.
Never forget.
Right. That's and she's girl. From South Jersey.
Yeah.
The beach towns of New Jersey.
That's so true. We forget that. That we should forget.
Oh my gosh. You know? Wow. Inspiration. Wendy B. Williams.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, she's mine. I don't care. I like Wendy.
I will never forget the Wendy and Whitney moment as long as I live. I was probably like 5 when it happened, but that doesn't matter.
See, the thing is, I was not present for the Radio Wendy era. I did not listen to her at all. My mom always listened to like C100. We never listened to her.
I knew
her from the show.
My mom was a Hot 97, 107.5, WBLS. Like, I have deep, distant memories of like hearing Wendy on the radio. And I'm like, oh,
wow.
That's cool.
I wish. That would have been so crazy for me. I wish.
I know. But thanks for coming on, Leanne.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Thank you. All right. So shout out to Leanne for coming on to the podcast today. Today's mindful mantra comes from the inspirational, amazing, and creative genius that is Issa Rae. She said, "I found every time I asked permission, the answer tended to be no. So I had to make my own yeses." And You know, coming from somebody who went 7 months without a job in this pandemic, making your own yeses seems very hard. However, it's always helpful to think about, what can I do in this moment that could help me in the future? What can I do right now that can open a door, you know, 3 months, 2 days, a year from now? So let's try and make our own yeses, and let's try to be what we want to see for ourselves. You know, when you look back at your younger self and they look at you now, are they going to be proud of you? I mean, I would hope so. I think 18-year-old Kimani is pretty amazed by 23-year-old Kimani. But yes, lovely to end on the note of making your own yeses. And I hope you all have productive, amazing, and blessed days from now until. Have a good day, everyone. Bye.